When we ask God, we have to be in the will of God. We have to be asking with the right motive. We can't go to God asking for selfish things just so that we can fulfill our selfish pleasures.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is God's provision.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking about God's provision. One of the most prominent promises concerning the meeting of our needs is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, which reads, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now, this verse speaks volumes, but some believers get the idea that they can ask anything for God because this verse promises them anything. But not necessarily. There are conditions in this verse. For instance, God said that he will meet your needs. In other words, what you're asking for from God has to be a genuine need. Now, some people might think that a need is always something serious or something dire, such as your car breaks down and you need a ride to work, or you are short on money to pay the bills at the end of the month and you have a financial need to pay your bills. But some needs are as simple as a day off from work, or a day out with your family, or the connection with an old friend that you haven't talked to in a while. Emotional needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs, whatever it is that you need from God, he will meet it according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Exactly what does that part mean of this verse? The need that you're asking for has to meet the conditions of God's word in Christ Jesus. In other words, it has to be in the will of God, and it has to line up with God's word. You can't just ask God for anything. You can't ask God for things that are going to hurt you. If somebody is struggling from an addiction, God isn't going to provide alcohol or tobacco or the drug. That may seem like a need to the person, but it doesn't glorify Jesus Christ. But there are needs that glorify Jesus Christ because they line up with God's word. Some needs are spiritual. Some needs are emotional. Other needs are physical, such as healing. Others are financial. Those things line up with God's word because he wants you to be successful and he wants you to be healthy. But we have to be careful that we're not reckless with our lives and we put God to the test. Now, God will supply all of your needs, but it is important that everything that God supplies in our lives, and I mean everything, is used for his glory. Because that is how we honor God with the things that we have. And believe me, if you give everything that you own back to God, he will not let you down. He will make sure that you have plenty. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." When we do good work in the name of Christ, God will supply every single need we have for that work, every single one of them. Sometimes we get a little confused and we're not sure what we need, but as we pray and we're listening to God, he will show us the things that we need. And make no mistake, God wants to bless us with things. Again, I want to stress, not everything you think you want is what you're going to get from God. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. "If you then, though you are evil," and he's meaning sinful, "know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, God is far more loving than any person. And if we want to do good things for our children or our loved ones, how much more can we expect God to do for us? He will hold nothing back that we need. Now, I want to get into the needs and how we should be using them and how we can assure that by doing the work of God, we can get everything we need to be equipped to do it. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to depend on him. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Jesus was first telling them, "I've got a job for you to do, and there's not very many people that are doing this job." He's talking about evangelizing. And he is saying that there's plenty of work to do. And he's also asking them to pray to the Father that more evangelists will go out and do the work. See, there's people out there right now that are ready to hear the word of God, but there's not enough people out there witnessing it. And so Jesus is sending them out, and then he says to them, go. He's sending them out as lambs among wolves. See, when you join the army of God and you go out and you start evangelizing, you will run into some bad people and you will run into Satan. When you start doing God's work, Satan takes notice and the wolves start appearing. And then in verse 4, he says, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals and don't greet anyone on the road. He wants to be their provider. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to prepare for this because I am going to supply all of your needs. Now, I'm not telling anybody out there not to be prepared in life. I am saying that this is what God spoke to the disciples that he was commissioning at this time. This was his specific instructions for them. You have to listen to what God is telling you to do in your walk with him. Now, in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10, we read, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus was saying, look, I have supplied you with all sorts of needs, but the greatest need of all is your eternal salvation. We must never, ever forget that when we are asking God for needs. We must always be thankful that God has supplied the greatest need of all, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. Because as Christians, our names are written in the book of life. We are going to God's kingdom when he returns, and we will be there forever. And that is the greatest need that mankind needs. And that is why Jesus sent these disciples out to evangelize. And that is why we, as believers today, should be out evangelizing. If you're wondering why you're not getting stuff from God, maybe you're not doing stuff for God. Why should God supply your selfish needs? If you're not taking the things that God has given you, if you're not using the things that God has already given you, why should you go back and ask him for more? God has a job. He has a plan. He has work for each and every Christian. And the kind of work that God wants to give you as an individual, it is custom tailored for you. God knows what's in your heart, and he promises us that if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. The desires of our heart, as we delight ourselves in God, become the desires that he plants in our heart. Because as we spend time with God, we get to know God. And as we get to know God, we start to conform to his personality. My mom always told me, be careful who you hang around with. Be careful about the friends you choose. because if you're around them long enough, you could start acting like them. Well, friends, I'm telling you right now, if you start hanging around Jesus by fellowshipping, by praying, by reading his word, you're going to start acting a lot more like him. And when you start acting more like him, you're going to start speaking like him. And when you start speaking like him, you're going to start having desires that the Father has. And those desires will lead you to pray for things that you never thought you would pray for before. And as you pray for those things, it'll be the Holy Spirit's influence upon you that will be requesting those things, and God will start delivering those things. God has different ways of delivering the things that we need. In John chapter 21, verse 6, we see the disciples trying to catch some fish, and they're not doing a very good job at it, even though they're seasoned fishermen. And this verse reads, he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When God supplies something to you, it's not always handed to you on a silver platter. Sometimes you have to do something. But make no mistake, they had to wait for a word from Jesus before they moved. And they were out there working in their own power, struggling, to no avail. And here comes Jesus, and he gives them a word of instruction. Friends, if you want something from God, if you need something from God, listen. Listen to him. Quiet yourself and just listen to what he has to say and then obey. Now, sometimes we can get afraid because the need is so great that we think that all hope is lost. But even then, God will come sometimes at the last minute and he will deliver you from your need. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 13 through 16, Elijah is talking to the widow who is completely out of food. And she is so hungry that her and her son are about to starve to death. Elijah said to her in verse 13, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. God can supernaturally meet your need. Now, some of you are probably thinking, yeah, that happened in the old days. That happened in the Bible. That happened with the prophet. That's not going to happen to me. Well, I can tell you this. It can happen. I have been in vehicles with people where we had to get someplace and the gas tank was completely on the empty mark, but the car kept going. The car kept going until we could get to a gas station. I have seen that. Now, you could say that the gas needle was stuck. Sure. Your carnal mind could explain that away, but I've seen other miracles that can't easily be explained. And you know, as a Christian, you have a promise from God that if you are living a Christian life, if you are being obedient to Christ, you can claim Psalms 37:25. "I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." If you're living righteous before God, if you're obeying his word, if you're living in Christ, if you're remaining in Christ, you're not going to be begging bread. You're not going to go hungry. You're not going to be forsaken. God is going to take care of you. But the problem is that too many Christians got one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. They're not submitting their lives to Christ fully. They're not being good stewards of what God has already given them. They squander the things that they already have. They make foolish choices. Worldly choices, things that don't line up with the word of God. See, it's not enough just to believe in your mind. You have to believe in your heart. When you believe God in your heart, you will have his word written on your heart and your actions will show it. And as your actions show it, you will start living a righteous life. You have to be a doer of the word. And we're going to get to that later on in this teaching. Now, one of the things that keeps us from hearing God when he's trying to lead us to a provision is worry. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, when we start worrying about the things that we need, our mind becomes cluttered with our own thoughts. Worry is not a thought from God. That's from the enemy, and it's also from your own carnal mind. And so when you flood your mind with worry and start thinking, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? You're drowning out the Word of God. He could be giving you a word. He could be telling you exactly what you need to do to get to your provision, but your mind is so cluttered that you can't hear it. And some people, when they pray to God for a need, they get to thinking, God doesn't care. He's not listening to me. Who am I that God would grant my request? But Luke chapter 12, verse 7 promises us that God loves us and we are very valuable to Him. It reads, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. See, Jesus was saying that out of all of creation, mankind is above it all. And we are valuable. And we are priceless to Him. So priceless that He knows the number of hairs upon our head. In fact, God knows you and I inside and out. There is nothing that God doesn't know about us. And if He is so meticulous about knowing so much about us, why should we be afraid? We are very valuable to Him. So when we come to Him in prayer, we should remember how valuable we are to Him. As I get into the Word of God and I read about His love for me, I realize just how much God really loves us. And when we recognize that love, it strengthens us and encourages us to come to Him openly, humbly. And there is nothing that God can't provide. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too big. You ever come to God with a big request thinking, oh man, this is huge. There's no way He can do this. Well, listen to this in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. When Jesus heard what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed Him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He was compassionate on them and healed their sick. Now see, He took care of the sick people first, because those people were in dire need of physical healing. As evening approached, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Now the disciples are thinking in worldly ways. They're thinking, we're way out here, there's nothing out here to eat, and we better start sending the people out so that they can get fed. Jesus replied in verse 16, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Now He was testing their faith. They had followed Jesus around long enough to know that He could do this, or at least they should have known. And Jesus didn't want the people to go away. See, that's the point. Jesus doesn't send us away because we need something. He doesn't just say, well, get out of my face. I don't want to hear it. No, He challenges our faith. Verse 17, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Now see, they're counting their resources. They're not realizing who they're speaking to. "Bring them here to me," He said. And He directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now see, that was 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And Jesus fed them all. It wasn't too big for Him to deliver that. Now notice how Jesus gave thanks before He petitioned God. We should always come to God with thankfulness. We should always come to Him with a thankful heart, not grumbling, not complaining. That's not the way God wants us to come to Him. Now we know what God wants to do for us, and we know He will do it for us, but how do we get ourselves in alignment with God to get these promises met? Well, first, we have to humble ourselves. James chapter 1, verse 9, "The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position." You shouldn't come to God thinking that you deserve better than what you have. You should come humbly, knowing that He is in the high position. And if He's in the high position and you belong to Him, then you're in that high position with Him. Your things, your materialistic stuff, does not dictate your position in heaven. Next, we have to obey God's word. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If we come to God and we start asking Him for things, we may not get the answer that we expect or want. He may convict us of a sin, something that we are doing or not doing in our lives that's not lining up with His word. So we have to be sure that we are living in obedience. Then we have to ask in God's will. Now, this is a tricky one, because in order to ask in God's will, you have to be thinking more like God. Now, our thoughts are not His thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. But as we spend time with Him through fellowship, prayer, and reading His word, we get more of the character of Jesus Christ in us. James chapter 4, verse 2. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now see, when we ask God, we have to be in the will of God. We have to be asking with the right motive. We can't go to God asking for selfish things just so that we can fulfill our selfish pleasures. That's not going to work with God, and you can't fool Him. We also have to be generous. We have to give to others. If you want something from God, then you have to give something to the people of God and back to God. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, we can't be the person who wants things from God, but is unwilling to give to God. And when we see someone in need, we're actually seeing God in need. God loves all of us. He loves all of creation. It is said that God even loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And that is true, because God died for each and every one of us while we were still in our sins. Because Jesus says that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son. And He did that at a time when everyone was a sinner. There was not one Christian on the planet when God sent His Son down to deliver us from sin. And so if God is giving, so should we be giving as well. We also have to submit ourselves to God. We have to be willing to hear what God has to say to us and accept the things that He's willing to give us and be submissive in all areas of our lives. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, what's all this crying and grieving and this sorrow about? It's about coming to God and confessing your sins and realizing that you've done wrong as the Holy Ghost convicts you. But you can't do that unless you submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. The devil will come to you and give you temptations, and you know when a temptation comes, because it never lines up with the word of God. But if you don't know your word, how are you going to be able to resist the devil? And it all gets back to spending time with God. You do that by reading His word, fellowshipping with other believers, and praying to God daily. This is something you have to do, like getting up in the morning and eating, drinking. Your relationship with God is that important, and even more so. You have to stay close to God, or you will not have all of your needs met, because you won't be hearing from God. And if you're listening right now and you have a need to be saved because you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I would like to invite you to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God.
This is Misha again. James will be back with a final word in just a moment. I just want to remind you again of how much James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God. Now back to James.
Come to God today with a humble heart. Submit yourself. Tell Him what's on your mind. Give Him praise and fellowship with Him and tell Him of your need. And when He replies to you, submit to His word. Because sometimes in order to get to where we want to be, we have to go through steps. Perhaps God wants to do something in your life. Perhaps He wants to meet a need. Perhaps He wants to give you a blessing, but you're not ready. And you keep asking God for that need. And He's saying, you're not ready. Listen to God. Ask God what He would have you do so that He can meet your need. Because sometimes we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. Give that some thought. Because God does want to bless us. And He does want to meet our needs. It's just sometimes it's us that's out of sync with Him. I'm James Lindley for A Word from God, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.